This is the 12 Songs of Christmas. I'm Alex Rawls, and this is my podcast about Christmas music. It's Christmas in July. It's time to start new episodes of 12 Songs. In 2021, I talked with singers Alexandra Scott and Dana Kurtz and writer Allison Fensterstock about versions of Eartha Kitt's Santa Baby. It's a song that's had a curious life, considered too provocative to join the Christmas canon in the decades after its release. But after Madonna covered it in 1987, it became a feminist Christmas song for some as it presented a woman of color owning her sexual and financial desire with a clear understanding of how they were linked for her. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. It has simultaneously been one of the most loved and least loved Christmas songs. A 2021 YouGov America poll found it was the most disliked Christmas song at 32%. Though to be fair, 68% of those polled really liked the song. A 2022 Finance Buzz poll of the most popular Christmas songs state by state found it to be the favorite Christmas song in 8 states, the most of any song, including my own home state, Louisiana. Because Santa Baby has so many moving parts, I explored it in context of singer Eartha Kitt's life and career for the Daily Beast last year, and the story came out last year on Christmas Day. It added enough to the story that today I want to revisit Santa Baby and Kitt's other Christmas songs, which help us understand Santa Baby a little better. To start with, let's briefly revisit Santa Baby.
Santa Baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa Baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight.
The central drama in Santa Baby is that of a woman negotiating flirtatiously with her man, or maybe Santa. It's not clear. But whatever, it represents a dynamic that Eartha Kitt was familiar with. She rose from poverty in South Carolina to fame and glamour in Paris when she was part of Catherine Dunham's dance studio. She was still broke, but she traveled in glamorous, wealthy circles where men showed their interest in part with money. In her 1989 autobiography, The Confessions of a Sex Kitten, Kitt talked about how legendary playboy Ruby Rosa wanted to take her to dinner at Maxim's. When she complained that she had nothing to wear, he sent his assistant to take Kitt shopping for an outfit. At dinner, he gifted her with an additional string of pearls. That was an extreme example, but men bringing her jewelry at shows was evidently common enough. The relationship between wealth and sexuality was a subtext, if not the straight-up text, for many of her songs, including Monotonous, her signature number from New Faces of 1952, the Broadway show that launched her career. In it, she adopted a similar persona.
I met a rather amusing fool while on my way to Istanbul. He bought me the Black Sea for my swimming pool. Monotonous for 30 days.
Santa Baby fits seamlessly the artistic profile Monotonous established. Songwriters Philip Springer and Joan Javits wrote Santa Baby specifically for Kitt in 1953 at the request of her record label, RCA Victor. Springer had a hard time squaring Kitt's sensual image with Christmas, but he was purely the melody guy, and when Javits suggested the title Santa Baby, he knew they had something to work with. Javits wrote the lyrics with Kitt's other songs in mind, but according to Kitt's daughter, Kitt Shapiro, they got closer to the truth than Javits may have realized. In Shapiro's memoir of her life with her mother, Eartha and Kitt, she tells of a couple of sugar daddy relationships Eartha had, including one with a banking heir who, quote, showered her with lavish gifts, including an emerald ring surrounded by diamonds and her first mink stole. The book also links the singer to Charles Revson, the founder of Revlon, who was 20 years older than Kitt and similarly pampered her with expensive gifts. When it became clear that she would never be more than his mistress, the relationship fell apart. My mother didn't want to be anyone's mistress, Shapiro wrote. She wanted to be important enough to be someone's wife. As Eartha Kitt explained in an NPR interview in 2007, The song says, "Santa baby, slip a sable under the tree." Well, all the men who have done that with me never stayed with me. Like burlesque, Santa Baby creates the impression that it's more scandalous than it is. Kit promises remarkably little in words, but her delivery implies a world of sensual pleasure. The song outraged politicians, and Springer said that some Southern radio stations banned it for being too suggestive, but not enough to hurt its chart performance. Santa Baby peaked at number 4, and Billboard reported at the time that, quote, "Unlike many other Christmas tunes, it has broken the DJ's 'we won't play Christmas songs until November' sound barrier and has already been getting loads of airtime." Writer Philip Springer thinks all the pearl clutching about Kit's extravagant request misses the point. In a 2018 interview, he said, "You remember it says, Santa Baby, I forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. That was my line." I've always believed that my line makes it clear that she's saying, "Santa baby, I also want to marry you if you want to go along with this relationship." That's plausible. In much the same way that kittenish baby talk was a socially permissible way for a woman to be upfront about her financial desires, it's possible to see her elaborate Christmas wish list as a socially permissible way for a woman to propose to a man. If that really was the point, though, it was discarded in 1954 when RCA Victor requested a follow-up tune, which Springer and Javits delivered very literally in 1954 with this year's Santa Baby. Javits fitted new lyrics to Springer's music to update the situation. It sounds like Kit got what she wanted, but the gifts Kit got either failed or didn't live up to their promise.
Santa baby, that Cadillac is falling apart, won't start. A private plane would be smart, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight.
For those who considered Kit a gold digger on Santa Baby, the song is a case of karmic payback and a valuable lesson in the capitalist society. The luxury items didn't live up to their promise and make her happy, but as a good capitalist, Kip's solution in the song is simply more. Her faith in their promise remains unshaken. This year's Santa Baby failed to chart, likely because it's not as good a song. The original is playful, inviting the listener to consider the nature of the relationship and how seriously to take any of it. This year's Santa Baby doesn't build on that, instead taking her Christmas list to an extreme and flattening the dynamics. Part of the critique of Santa Baby is that it's wrong for Kit to use her sexuality as a bargaining chip with men. But a third Christmas song, Nothing for Christmas, addresses it.
Jim promised me a sable coat just for a little kiss, a diamond ring and motorboat just for a little kiss. He said, "I'll buy out the stores. Everything I have is yours. I will be your Santa Claus just for a little kiss." I'm getting nothing for Christmas. My little Jimmy is mad. I'm getting nothing for Christmas, 'cause I didn't want to be bad.
In Nothing for Christmas, all the guys offer goods for physical contact, but when she shuts them down, she gets nothing. Taken together with Santa Baby, the songs show women in a no-win situation. They're bad if they're sexual, but the only way they get a Christmas present is if they're bad. The reluctance of women in Kit's songs to bet heavily on love rang true because as a black woman, her relationships with the white men who courted her all faced clear limitations. According to the book Eartha and Kit, a number of her relationships with wealthy white men couldn't withstand the pressure from families. The Revlon founder Charles Revson's estranged wife once threatened to expose, quote, "his black mistress," Shapiro wrote. In 1962, during an interview with writer Studs Terkel, Kit elaborated on the love and money debate, admitting that she loves fur coats. "I mean, everyone loves to have a mink coat, she said. But she felt bad for the people who rely on material goods to make them happy. I don't think another Cadillac car or Frigidaire in the house is going to make anyone any more happy, she said. As a matter of fact, these are the things that complicate your life. Her song, Mink Schmink, seemingly endorsed that point of view, so we'll hear a bit of it.
A friend of mine called me up not long ago. He knew me since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. But I evidently didn't give him the right answer because he said to me, Mink Schmink, money shmoney, think you're hot now, don't you, honey? What have you got if you haven't got love? Silk schmilk.
In the song, she sings, Mink Schmink, money shmoney, think you're hot now, don't you, honey? What have you got if you haven't got love? But that wisdom comes courtesy of a male friend, according to the song's first verse. And he tries to pound this thought into her head. Counting on love was hard for her, since it had rarely ended well. In her life, love remained elusive. She only married once, in 1960, to John William McDonald, and they divorced 5 years later. So perhaps it's no surprise that at the end of Mink Schmink, a song discounting money and the finer things in life, she concludes with a line that echoes Santa Baby.
I'll take the Jaguar on the right.
Thanks for listening to this deep dive into Santa Baby. I don't plan to change the format of the show into long-form essays like this, but on occasion, I do plan to do this and mix up the format a little bit. Next week, I'll be back with an interview I'm glad I finally got, but we'll wrap up today with another early Christmas offering. A version of It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas by V, a BTS. One day, I'm going to have to do a BTS Christmas episode since they have more Christmas songs than you'd think. But this is curious on a few levels. First, it comes at a time when the band is on hiatus as three members, Jin, Suga, and J-Hope, do their mandatory military service, with RM, Jimin, and V scheduled to start their service between now and 2025. And, rather than move the classic song closer to their K-pop home turf, V approaches the song as a Sinatra-esque crooner. Those moves are a little awkward on first listen, but I'd be lying if I didn't say it grew on me. It's useful to remember that K-pop artists are trained for the stage, which means they're generally good singers, even though the songs don't always require them to be. Anyway, you can decide how to process this for yourself. This is V, and it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Talk to you next week.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look at the 5 and 10. It's glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes that glow. It's beginning to look